Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, May 9th, 2024. And our top story today, are mortgage rates the only obstacle for home buyers? Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Carl Delmont is with Freedmont Mortgage. Carl, always great to see you. Welcome back to the program this morning.
Great to see you as well. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start off with the basics here. In the Fed last week, Jerome Powell came out and said, we're not going to raise rates. We're not going to lower rates. We're just going to keep things as is. And I want to get your reaction to that and then tie it back to the mortgage market. What does it mean for mortgages, or does it mean anything for mortgages?
I mean, when you look at mortgages, a lot of people think it's based on what the Fed's decision is. And to some extent, a very minor one, it is. But mortgage rates are really based on what's going on in treasuries and really, to a greater extent, mortgage-backed securities. So the bond market is usually a little bit ahead. They sort of anticipate what the Fed's doing. So there wasn't really any big surprise. And in fact, most analysts were thinking the Fed wasn't going to do anything. Jerome Powell's in a very, very tough position. You know, you have stubborn inflation, and you just get a lot of mixed economic news. So, I still think there's a lot of that stimulus money, whether it's, the PPP, IDL, or even just the unemployment money that was going through the system. And it's just really changed the economy a lot. It's, a lot of people have, side gigs, side hustles, as they call them. A lot of people work in multiple jobs, and that falls back into the jobs report too, because if you work two jobs in the BLS numbers, you're counted twice. So, this last jobs report at 175, that came in drastically under most expectations. And you got to remember, it was every single month prior, except for this past month, was revised downwards. Strangely enough, this last month was revised upwards. But the other thing people are talking about is the unemployment came, the jobless claims. That number has been the same, like the same exact number for like, I think, 7 months. It's pretty crazy. So people are starting to be a little bit suspect of the BLS numbers.
And probably rightfully so. And also, when you look in deeper, there's a lot of government jobs that have been created versus the private sector. Anyway, we'll let other people debate that. But I think that's an excellent summary and kind of sets things up. So let's talk about the home buying market. Last time we had you on, it was about a month ago. We had talked about the NAR settlement. And that's, that's just a what if. We don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's not until July. But where does the home buying market stand? Has inventory increased? Are houses available if you're a first-time buyer?
Yeah, I mean, the market's a mixed bag, and obviously real estate's always local. What's happening in, say, Charlotte could be drastically different from even Raleigh, right? So you're looking at all these things, and, I look at big cities. You can go two or three blocks, and the market's totally different. But overall, yeah, we're seeing an inventory increase, and it's improving, but nowhere near the level that we need. And I think that for housing, at least from our perspective, we are still seeing a very, very strong demand for people that are either being proactive and getting pre-approved now, even though they don't think they're going to start looking for 3, 4, 5, or 6 months. But also a lot of people who are ready to buy pretty quickly. But for the first-time buyers, that's really, really tough. What's out there is probably beyond most of their budgets, and it's not very good. You could take, and this is where a little bit of the economy is coming into the system here. If you $2,000 a month will get you a really nice apartment in most cities, but it's not going to get you a very big house in most cities. It's going to be the house that's going to be smaller than what you want, maybe not in your school district. Maybe it needs some work, all those features. And I think that a lot of people are saying, I'm going to throw caution to wind and still buy, because owning is still better than renting in some people's minds. But I've always said this. I said this for the 30-something years. Actually, I don't know, 35 years I've been doing this. I think that when you're emotionally and financially ready, that's the best time to buy. And homeownership's not for everybody. I mean, we don't want 100% homeownership rate in America. 66, 65%.
And I think
pretty healthy number. We get too much higher than that, we start seeing issues.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, Carl. I was going to ask you the types of mortgages you're seeing. So there's a 15-year mortgage, there's a 30-year mortgage, there are adjustable rate mortgages. For mortgages that you're writing now, not you personally, but the team is writing now, what's it look like?
Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing a lot of people. What we try to do for our clients is offer different options. A lot of states have different grant programs where you can get in with no money down. In Maryland, for example, we have a first-time buyer program where you can buy a house and pay up to $50,000 in student loan debt off with the purchase. So all states have different programs like that. Some have programs where they're trying to lure you in. So if you take a job in their city and buy a house within a year, you might get up to $10,000 depending on the cities. So there's a lot of good things out there. You are seeing nationwide more adjustable rate mortgages being offered now because rates have gone up. Now, strangely enough, or coincidentally, since we talked about the Fed report, and jobs numbers, that jobs report actually helped mortgage rates so much a little bit. That same day, down that Friday, we had a manufacturing report come out, and but the headline number wasn't great. There were still some concerning numbers when it came to inflation in that thing. So, a lot of people are starting to say now Fed is probably going to wait till the end of the year before they hike. There's still some optimists who think up this summer. There are some pessimists who say not at all. And I just read an article the other day where someone's actually claiming we're going to have a hard landing. So we'll see. But if you do take an adjustable rate mortgage, please ask your loan officer to describe for you everything that goes along with it, because you're looking at a number of factors. You're going to look at the index, and that's what it's based upon. So is it based upon, well, home equity loan is based upon prime, but on a fixed, not fixed, a regular purchase mortgage, it could be based on a number of factors, treasuries or things like that. You also want to know what the margin is, and that's going to be the spread above that index. And then you also want to know the cap rates, because what that means is they could have a 2% per year cap rate, which isn't horrible, but what is the max cap? So let's say the max cap is 5% or 7%. Could that happen in any particular year? Like, are there life or annual caps as well? So let's say that the cap was 5% lifetime, but it didn't have an annual cap. Well, if you bought a adjustable rate or took an adjustable rate mortgage in, say, 2021, and it was a 2-year adjustable, you'd be in for a shock right now because it wouldn't go up 2%, it'd probably go up 5%, right? So, I mean, you have to look at all those factors. For me, I've always told my clients, adjustable rate mortgages, you're telling the bank that you think mortgage rates are too high, so you want a lower rate. And the bank is saying, fine, we'll give you today a lower rate today, but you're going to pay a higher rate down the road. So you're making that trade, and you have to make sure you're comfortable with that trade, because if the rate goes up to, say, close to what market is today, a 30-year fix may be better, but then if you incur closing costs to get that peace of mind, because if you keep the adjustable and you haven't hit the cap, you might be in line for even more increases. So there's a lot of things to look at there. A 15-year, obviously a higher payment, but you pay it off quicker. 30-year, a little bit higher, I mean, a little bit better rate, but I mean, sorry, a little bit higher rate, but you can always pay extra without penalty on a conventional or FHA. So something to think about. And then, of course, you have mortgage insurance. That's a major component. You have to look at that as well.
Carl, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the mortgage market and the home market. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Well, Carl, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
Carl, if you get, I want to just pick up on the conversation on adjustable rate mortgages. You talked about all the parameters, and you got to be a good You got to get information from your agent. We'll talk about that in a second, how you pick an agent. But you got to get all the information. If the rate gets adjusted because either the spread or the index it's following calls for it, can you refinance that mortgage? So could I be subject to a rate increase as a mortgage holder and then come to you and say, you know what, I just want to refi? Like, does that make sense? Or how do you keep track of that as a consumer, I guess, is my question.
I mean, so yes, you can always refinance. Conventional loans and government loans aren't going to have prepayment penalties. Typically, they want you to keep that mortgage at least 6 payments, just for early payment default, things like that. But if rates move up, then yeah, I mean, you can turn around and look at refinancing. You just have to weigh the pros and cons, because when you refinance, you're probably going to incur closing costs. The only way you won't incur closing costs is if the bank or lender gives you a higher rate and they eat the closing costs in that spread. So now you're even going up even higher. But to watch the market, most people don't even pay attention to the credit card statement. So watching something as complicated as, an adjustable that's based on something a little complicated, they may not look at that. But you'll get a notice from the lender saying, hey, rates have gone up. This is the anniversary. Your rate is going to go up this much. You know, at that point, you're put on notice. Now, does it make sense to refinance? It's hard to say. I mean, you have to look at the overall individual situation and decide, okay, we have this balance, we're paying this much, and it could be this much. So if it goes up, say, $400 a month, if you refinance to a fixed rate at that current rate for that day, and it only makes your payment go up $150, does that make sense? Possibly. But then you have to take into the cost of acquiring that new mortgage and then figure out what your break even is and everything else. So what I tell most people is, again, look at adjustables, but also look at the fixed. And, if you're a little bit risk adverse, a fixed rate is probably the best thing, because you don't have to worry about it. The only thing can go up is your taxes and insurance, and you can't help that anyway.
Yeah, you literally have no control over the taxes. Carl, as you were describing that adjustable rate mortgage, I flash back to The Big Short, the movie. I don't know if you recall that scene where they're talking with the exotic dancers or the exotic dancer, and she said she had multiple homes, and they told her, you've got an adjustable rate loan and it's going to go up. And she was like, what? She had like 3 or 4 homes. So I kind of flash back to that.
Yeah, those loans don't exist anymore. Those are pay option arms. And we could have a whole segment on that, but they don't exist anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good. So that at least that happened, if the audience familiar with that show, and they should watch it, because it was just a funny movie. It was a great movie and informative. They should check it out. Carl, let's go back to everything you're describing. You got to have the right loan officer or someone approving the loan. But it sounds to me you've got to have the right agent. And I just, given all the potential changes with the NAR settlement, let's just go over why you might want to have an agent and things you want to think about when you're finding an agent. Because it's not, hey, if it worked for your buddy over here, it may not work for you and your family.
100%. Same with a loan officer. I mean, I always advise people to find your loan officer first. Then find a realtor. Now, a lot of realtors are arguing that you should find a realtor first, let them choose a loan officer for you. But I think both are equally important, and I think the client should have a say in which one they're picking. We have a free service called Home Matcher. When someone calls in and they're unrepresented, as we're asking them questions, we'll say, okay, if you're unrepresented, if you want, we'll give you the names of 2 or 3 realtors that we've worked with for at least 10 plus years that specialize in what you're trying to do. So for example, if you wanted to buy a condo in the city, that's different than buying a condo at the beach. If you wanted to buy a lot or a house with a lot of land in the equestrian country, that's much different than someone who just wants to buy, in the suburbs or, a brand new development or things like that. If you're buying something that's on a river, you have riparian rights. Do you understand all those things? You want a realtor that knows those markets. Same theory, someone who specializes in first-time buyers versus someone who specializes in relocations or move-down buyers, things of that nature. So you definitely want to interview. I feel that when you're hiring a realtor, whether it's representing a buyer or a seller, and the same with a loan officer, treat it like a job. You're the manager. You need to hire someone. Ask them the questions. Are you going to be available on nights and weekends? Because my job doesn't let me out during the day. Are you going to be able to return my calls quickly? All those other factors. But going out and asking your friend to use them always helps, because, oh yeah, they're really nice or whatever. But, what worked for them may not work for you. So make sure it's a personal thing, because you're going to spend a month to maybe 6 months, depending on the market, you know, and your choices, and if you don't get accepted and all those other factors. But what I tell people, and I think this is really the most convincing line, this is probably the biggest purchase you're ever going to make in your life. So what Gart Slagland is, don't make a 30-year mistake by choosing the wrong lender. We want to convey that this is a big decision. So make sure that you ask the great questions and you pick the right people. Don't just rush into it. Like you go to Zillow and someone pops up, you're like, oh, they look nice, I'll pick them. That's probably the worst thing to do.
Yeah, and to that end, you talked a lot of this is education, and in the retirement industry and the financial industry, there's something called financial wellness, and they're doing a lot of financial education now in schools, primarily high schools, and even in the colleges. Given that this is probably the largest purchase an individual, a regular American will make, should this, what we're talking about today, be taught at least in college, maybe not in high school, because not everyone goes to college. Carl, so are these concepts, the ARM, the adjustable rate mortgage, the 30-year, should these things be taught in school?
Absolutely. I mean, I was instrumental in the county I live in getting financial literacy courses mandatory to graduate in high school because I think it's so important. I think the courses are not very long. It's only like a portion of a marking period. And it's topical. The problem is it can be a little bit complex, and kids really have nothing to relate it to. When you think about it, kids grow up the whole time seeing their parents go to the grocery store or go to the clothes store or go wherever, and they pull a piece of plastic, give it, walk out. The kids don't see the parents write a check. They just think, that's cool. That's how life works. And then when you try to explain the complicated nature of, revolving debt versus installment debt and how, debt works, and then add in your FICO score, which is so important, everything else, it's foreign to them. It's kind of like, if you and I went to an exotic restaurant and, they served us something strange. And what does it taste like? Oh, the obvious answer, tastes like chicken. Right? It doesn't taste like chicken, but that's the only benchmark that people know, everyone knows. When you say, well, how's the a points credit card work? It works like this, but you don't really have a benchmark to explain to a 15, 16-year-old kid, much less even a 21 or 22. And if they make mistakes in that very, very short period of time of their available credit history, one or two mistakes magnified dramatically. But if you or I, inadvertently was late on a mortgage or a credit card payment, it would hurt our scores, but not as bad as the kid who misses a credit card when he's, 20 years old, because the credit models look and say, well, is this what the future's going to hold? Whereas for you and I, we have a long credit history. You're like, oh, this is some aberration. We'll give him a little, happens again, we're going to ding you big time. But for the first one, we'll give you almost a pass. So, yeah, I mean, it's super important understanding those things. But it's also, I mean, really, you look at the budgets of schools and everything else, who's teaching these classes? The history teacher, the phys ed teacher. I mean, it's whoever's available. Do they know it well? Do they have a foreclosure in their past? Do they have, maxed out in their credit cards? So if the person teaching it doesn't understand it, how good is the information? So that there's where the devil's in the details.
Yeah, it just seems like preemptively, these are some of the most, it's reading, writing, arithmetic, history. This seems like it's a basic. Carl, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on the program. We look forward to having you back again very soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to? Then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content, then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and, of course, another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.